L is for the way
that's who you think it is. The and Grimace B mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Tuesday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We have a busy one for you, as always, as we await the start of the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Finals. We are going to be looking at the play of the Toronto Blue Jays, plus continuing the CFL preview. We also have a bonus episode out now for those just listening to the podcast, an interview with a few players on, see the hat there, the Okotoks Dogs. So check that out in podcast form. All right, let's get to it. Talk some baseball. On yesterday, I just see the cat in the background. On yesterday's Catlinato cast, I talked about the importance of this series for the Blue Jays and how they needed to get at least a split and better yet, 3 out of 4, just to kind of set a tone that, look, that this is a team that is for real. And getting 3 out of 4 is going to be more difficult when you lose the first one, as they fall 7-2 to the Baltimore Orioles last night. And there are some concerning things, but it's all... This is going to sound very oversimplistic, but it's all kind of the same with the Blue Jays. Only Vlad was hitting last night, with a couple of exceptions. And the pitching maybe got hit a little bit harder than you would like. Kevin Gausman goes 6 1/3, giving up 6 hits. 3 of them were home runs. That gives up 6 runs, striking out 3, walking 1. And the thing that was the concerning part to me was that he was getting hit hard throughout the night. Like, it wasn't just a couple of bloops that, oh, wow, it carried and it's out of here. Not that they were just absolute tanks either, but this was a team in the Baltimore Orioles that was hitting the ball very, very hard. There was a lot of fly ball outs to the outfield, a lot of hard hit balls that ended up dying at the track, and a lot of hard hit ground balls as well. This was an Orioles team that was locked in on Gausman last night. And this has not been Gausman of last year. He has been fine. And I do think that it is a credit to him that he was able to battle through with maybe not his A stuff as much as you would like. And he was able to kind of grind through that until the last inning, where another home run kind of sails and it makes the line look a little bit lopsided. But for this team, they're going to need him to be back toward ace caliber. And it does kind of concern you going into tonight now, where it is Richards going on the mound and then Bowden Francis following up. If Gausman's getting hit like that and those guys are locked in on those two, it could be a long night for the Toronto Blue Jays. And so when you're looking at trying to kind of steal a series against one of the best teams in baseball, you need your ace to go out there and steal one. And Gausman didn't do that last night. Last night's loss was not on Gausman. I mean, in part it was. You would have liked to see him be a little bit more effective. But it's the same thing. It's the same story with this Blue Jays team. I know. They couldn't hit. You have Vlad, who is locked in right now. They're saying in the broadcast he's hitting close to 400 in a stretch of games here for Toronto. He hits the home run to dead center field, absolutely laced another couple of balls. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is on it. Would you like the launch angle to improve probably dramatically? Yes, 100% you would. Is that something that I do think that he'll be able to correct? It's been long enough that maybe no, but he is still getting hits out of it. He is still driving in runs. He is still having productive at-bats. And talked with Shoa Ali about this on Sportsnet 960. And we kind of talked about, like, maybe you have to adjust how you look at Vlad. Like, maybe he isn't the big basher in the middle of the lineup that's going to hit 45 home runs and 100 RBIs. Maybe he is going to be more the table setter guy for a big basher, which does, I think, change how you have to look at constructing this team going forward. Like, if he is just a better version of Bo Bichette, then what are we doing here? But I do think that he is still a quality hitter and having quality at bats. The problem is no one else did last night. Schneider fights off of a blooper. Jansen has a hard hit ball. Varsho had a few. Like, Varsho was kind of on it last night. And like Springer scattered some around. But at the end of the day, it's still only Vladdy who is driving in runs and coming up hits at times where they need it. Vogelbach gets back into the lineup and promptly goes 0 for 4. They're just isn't enough offense on this team right now. And I know that this isn't groundbreaking or anything like that, but I thought last night really showed it. And for Baltimore, it wasn't just the big guys. And I know I get caught with it all the time saying, look, this team is only going to go as far as Vladdy can take him. He's going to need some help though. And Baltimore, you got the help last night. Like you're like Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson. Those are the guys who are going to kind of carry the mail for Baltimore. Well, last night it was Hayes getting his first two home runs of the year. Urias getting a big shot late in the ball game that really helped seal this one away. Hi, Shiloh. You get some quality at bats from these guys. Anthony Santander isn't just a depth piece, but he's not a superstar either. He is kind of that bridging the gap guy, but he hit everything hard last night. Fastball up in the zone, boom, gone. Splitter that came moments away from skipping into home plate, golfs that one for a big ride as well. He was hitting the ball really hard last night. And so, yes, the Blue Jays need Vladdy, who has gotten there. But they need Vladdy and Bo to get going. But those guys are going to need help eventually. Like, that is the big thing right now. It's probably Bo. Vladdy, we've checked that box, I think. Bo needs to get going, and then someone else. But Baltimore is showing that it's not just a couple. You're allowed to have nine that could get rolling. And this Orioles team is a deep offensive team. And then you look at who else you're competing with in the American League East. The Yankees, that's a pretty deep offensive team as well. Vlad is the most important part, but he can't be the only part. And last night he was the only part, and the Jays lost 7-2. So kind of shows you where you're at when Vladdy is the only one who is rocking and rolling at any particular time. So tonight it is Richards going up against Bowden Francis in game two of this three-game series. As once again we say, hello Shiloh, hello Shiloh. For those listening, that's going to sound very weird. The cat crawling all over me at this particular point. So Richards and Francis get the ball for the Jays in this one, and this. This is why you wanted to win the Gausman start last night, because this one, I don't want to say feels like a scheduled loss, as someone who predicted Bowden Francis to be the breakout candidate for the Blue Jays for this upcoming season. But the offense needs to show up in a big time way in this game. They are going to need help. The Blue Jays are not going to win a pitcher's duel in this game. This is one that if they were to get it, that would be stealing a game. They need to come out and really start to step things up. So if you're looking for more Blue Jays content, it is available on this channel. Just look for the Catlin Autocast on YouTube. It is its own playlist on here. And in podcast form, it just says Catlin Autocast at the end for a bit more of an in-depth breakdown of the Toronto Blue Jays. Like I said, the NHL and the NBA are on pause right now, so we're going to pause our coverage of that and get ready for the start of the CFL season. Today, we look at the breakout players in the Canadian Football League.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
The CFL season is just a couple days away now, and it is now time to look at who could potentially break out this CFL season. Three candidates that I think could have breakout years this year. We will start with Jalen Philpott in Calgary. His brother breaks out in the Grey Cup in a big-time way, or else he probably, like, for full-season breakout, I think that he could be one, although we'll get to Montreal here in a second. Jalen Philpott, though, he has all the talent that his brother has. And I'm not just saying that because they're twins, that this is a very, very talented receiver and a player that a lot of people out here in Calgary were very surprised, or not very surprised, very excited about when the Calgary Stampeders made that draft pick. And so now would seem like a pretty good time for him to break out. Sorry, there you go, Shiloh. Now it seemed like a pretty good time for him to break out, as you have a receiving core that is, I think, in pretty drastic need of some help, given the injuries that they have had. You have a quarterback that this needs to be, I don't have him on here. If he is going to, A, stay the quarterback in Calgary, and B, if Calgary is going to do a fucking thing this year, he needs to be a breakout candidate. And so I do think there is going to be a little bit more focus on this and trying to get the passing game going. And I think Philpott is going to be a big part of that. I think he has the potential to be a real weapon for this Stampeders team moving forward. Out east, Drew Brown, quarterback for the Ottawa Redblacks. This one is, I think, a rather trendy pick. Shiloh back there is very excited about it. I don't know if the mic's picking that up. But Drew Brown is someone, he was the backup for a while out in Winnipeg, and now is getting the opportunity to start. And I tend to think that sometimes the CFL overdoes it. Well, look, man, Nick Arbuckle was great, and a couple backup throws. He is going to be dynamite. What's that? He's on like his 19th team now? Okay. But I think this kid is legitimate. I think there is really something there with Drew Brown. And I have talked before about how much I liked Ottawa's offseason going out and addressing the receiving room there. They still need some help on the defensive side of the ball, but I do think that they have gone out there and given Drew Brown a lot of tools to succeed. And so I think we have another quality starting CFL quarterback on our hands. And then lastly, we have Tyler Snead. Sorry, Shiloh is all over the place right now in here. We have Tyler Snead out in Montreal. Now, he did have over 700 receiving yards last year. So from a literal sense, he has probably already broken out. But I think from a national attention standpoint, coming into this year, it is Fajardo, it's Philpott, and that's kind of it. There isn't that focus on Snead, I don't think, as much. And so this one is a bit more of a national spotlight breakout than it is a statistical one. Statistically, he had over 700 receiving yards last year. Probably broken. But I think from a attention standpoint and from a respect standpoint, I think that this is going to be a player that gets a lot of that this season. So I think Snead, for a Montreal offense that I'm really, really high on, has the potential to be a really big breakout. Tomorrow is going to be a big day CFL coverage-wise here, as we are going to have the win total projections for every team, going to break that down. We are also going to look at the difference makers in the CFL and then the best players in the Canadian Football League. So it is a big one coming up tomorrow. Keep it locked right here for that. That's going to do it for the podcast today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like I said, a busy week around these parts. There is a bonus episode out right now interviewing three members of the Okotoks Dogs. That is podcast only. And if you are catching this on Tuesday, make sure you check me out on the Okotoks Dogs broadcast tonight on Home Team Live. That's if you can't make it down to Siemens Stadium to watch the Okotoks Dogs take on the Edmonton Prospects. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like or leave a review. And make sure you follow me on social media at PrimetimeKlein and twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. I will talk to all of you later. I'm out.